Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Technology Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Doherty. As always, this podcast is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. Today, we're going to bring you some information. As the first segment, we're going to go in depth into this blockchain stuff. With, I know when you think of blockchain, you think of cryptocurrency and all that stuff with Bitcoin and everything, but it actually has a lot more implications that can be used and can help make us more secure in the future. We're going to go into that in the first segment. And actually, in the rest of the show, we're pretty much going to bounce around with different stories. Nothing really big going on. I know Google has some data stuff going on. You know, they changed some prices of how they're going to sell their data features. Google One came out this week. So we'll bounce around with a bunch of different things. And I'll give you some updates from Fortnite. I know there's some rumors regarding Fortnite and a Nintendo partnership. We'll talk about that throughout the rest of the show. So first segment, we're going to jump right into it with this blockchain stuff. I know people, I don't know if you know what blockchain is, but honestly, it's kind of just a way to divert. I mean, it's a way to be more for information and for things to travel more secretly, not secretly, but more securely. I mean, you could say more securely, and it's more decentralized, basically. So, I mean, I don't know if you guys are watching Silicon Valley on HBO and you're trying to make a decentralized internet. This is kind of a decentralized data storage, basically. So where data would exist across multiple different computers, and it would not be on one central. That's the thing about, that's why hacking, it's not easy. But if you know how to do it, it can be very easy because you know where the data is and you just go break into wherever that is and you get it. Basically, like, you know where the money is. It's in the bank. You go rob it from the bank. You know it's in that server. You go take it from that server through whatever means necessary through your hacking abilities. But on this way, well, especially for companies and different company information, you're going to be able to have data across multiple, I mean, they're called, whether it's going to call it a node or a computer or a server or whatever it might be, you definitely, the hacker would have to attack every single one of those computers. It could be 10, it could be 100, it could be 1,000, doesn't matter how much information you have to store, but it would be able to be all over the place all at once and be very difficult to grab. It would also be distributed, like I said, distributed on computers all over the world. So it would not be able to be in one centralized location for somebody to go get it. Or, I mean, it always would be safe because the fact that it's all over the world at one point, at one time. And it also would, I mean, the fact for companies, the other pro is the fact that it would be save on overhead, to save on different costs regarding maintenance of a servant server, and different things like that. Regards, it would definitely be quite, definitely would take, cut that down to the fact that it is in the ether kind of everywhere else versus then one of your locations, your web services or your one server base that you have. When it comes to customers, definitely it would cut out the middleman of everything. I don't know if Amazon is really happy with this, the fact that they're now really getting into that whole Amazon Web Services and buying up real estate to make server banks, basically. But this would kind of, I don't know if this would quite clearly eliminate it or not, but it would definitely probably hurt it a little bit. Definitely would make consumers a little more independent when it comes to corporations and governments. The blockchains, with public blockchains, individuals could just do person-to-person business. They could make payments. They could make peer-to-peer interactions without having a middleman or some sort of overlooking, haunching kind of entity on top of it. Versus, like, when you have governments have to validate identities, banks, they charge for different transfers and transactions, and then corporations, obviously, like I'm going to get into probably in the next segment here, they collect data and use it for their services. I'm going to get into the whole pros and cons of data collection in the next segment as well, especially with Google, and you'll find out that you might not be too upset with the fact that they are taking your data. We'll get there eventually. As far as some real time, you know, real way to apply this, the whole blockchain, how it could have affected different things. Like we're talking about different data breaches and stuff like that. When it comes to analytics firms, I mean, Cambridge Analytica, I mean, they attained profile information and different likes and different likes of over 50 million users on Facebook, and used it to influence a election. I mean, if you use the decentralized data system, there would be no way for a company like this to be able to buy or sell this information. It'd be in too many different places. It'd be decentralized. It's not in one position where a guy could create a game. Like, this is what happened. I think I've said this on this show a million times. He created a game that was able to hack in. If you played the game, it hacked into your account and then hacked into all your friends' accounts and extrapolated it on further and further and further. I mean, only 350,000 people played the game, and it expanded to 50 million over. I think it was well more than that. I think it was like closer to 70 million people were influenced. And I mean, the effectiveness isn't quietly exact on the fact that it got Trump elected for sure. But the fact that we're thinking about it and it could have had a chance and influence people through fake news and fake ads. I know Trump's the one, oh, that's fake news. Well, why don't you go on your Facebook page, Mr. President, and figure that out? Blockchain could help that for sure. Why we use it? I mean, obviously, there are obviously data miners and every single thing. There's going to be different mining when it comes to verification and stuff like that. When it comes to downloading the software and doing things like that, you have to have some sort of verification. But in the blockchain, it'd be a little more streamlined, as well as the fact that we'd be storing this information on multiple things. You don't have to like, oh, it's on one thing, you have to do it like that. Versus, and you just grab it. You obviously have to be notified in order to know that your data is being mined. Basically, you'd be more upfront and know what's going on. So, I mean, miners, when it comes to Bitcoin, when you think of, that's why I think this blockchain thing kind of comes up in Bitcoin conversations a lot, because that's how it started. That's how cryptocurrency has been able to stay cryptocurrency, because of the fact that it's all over the place and you need to verify a transaction or some sort of information will be taken, and you'll be known about it, basically. All right. I mean, that's the difference between, I mean, there are difference between private and permission based blockchains. Obviously, the shovel is linked. You have to pay for the shovel if you're going to go get any data versus just free going at it, you know, kind of thing like that. As far as when it comes to compliance concerns, obviously there's always concerns when it comes to, is this legal? What's going on with this? The European Union has a general data protection regulation that does grant people control over their data as an ability to erase personal information. But I mean, you can obviously, there's no way you can just take things off the internet unless you really go through the whole legal action of it. Blockchain data isn't really intended to be manipulated or moved at all, or I mean, removed or manipulated once it's on, once it's in the chain. So once it's in the chain, you're good. So no problem. As far as when it comes to different solutions, there's different ways when it comes to the user control data. Well, we go on a separate and central storage database that will allow for different things like alteration and only deletion to happen. Obviously, if you want, that's if you are, you know, you need a possibility in the future, oh, I might need to get this removed or something like that. As opposed to what changes it's going to make, it could make changes in healthcare. It could make people's data, health records more secure. Obviously, it's all about security. When it comes, I mean, there's always reasons to hack things, to data mine, to get information about people. And that's how, like I talked about, I think, a couple episodes ago with AI. The reason why maybe Apple's AI is behind Google's AI is because Apple has a completely different, way of going at acquiring data, basically. I'm trying to think of the word here. They have a different way of going at acquiring data and getting things and massive data. You need a massive amount of data information and store and stuff for your AI computers to just take in and download and be able to get there so they can create their own brains. Basically, you're creating a brain here. And Apple uses more trends versus they're taking a big group and then kind of going off of just basic trends versus Google is taking every single little data point they possibly can and shoving it into that algorithm, into that AI device, and giving as much information as possible versus Google. Apple is, always been more of a privacy base. We already went over the whole Google I/O problem with the fact that, they didn't even talk about privacy. That's because they're trying to get into AI, and AI and privacy don't really go hand in hand that much because they're trying to get as much data as they possibly can from you in order to power their AI devices. The whole Google Duplex thing, really? Like that, calling people and making hair appointments for them? They have to figure out how to get that phone call to work and have a computer to have a real be able to respond like a human. Basically, all these data all these data points versus, like I said, Apple goes off of more of a trend setting kind of thing where they go off of mass trends versus individual data points. For when it comes to, go back to the blockchain thing. When it comes to data, like a security, it's going to help when it comes to renewable energy. It could be when it comes to, different companies and their information about, there's the companies called WePower. You obviously got to use, when it comes to energy producers dealing directly with the users, basically using tokens that represent increments of power they generate, kind of thing like that, versus comes to renewable energy and stuff like that. So if you say you have a solar panel on your house, you're going to generate these tokens with this company and being able to basically represent the increments of power you generate in your house, or whether it's a wind farm or a dam or something like that, there's going to be a way to do that securely through the blockchain. Healthcare, obviously, network of healthcare. People, there's so much information out there when it comes to people's health records and how that's protected, and having a decentralized database of health records would be very helpful because of the fact that, that's stuff that you could use for corporate espionage, whether it's pharmaceutical companies going in trying to get as much health records as they can to try and whatever they're going to target certain pills or certain areas or certain pharma corps are crazy when it comes to that. There's going to be using blockchain to learn, get better quality of care and stuff like that when it comes to getting data. Because one thing is, there's reasons why certain data isn't collected because it's super sensitive, and we don't trust certain housing or certain data areas, basically. Way to storage. We don't have our storage is not secure enough, so we don't collect it at all. And having a secure storage, you'd be able to do that where you can improve different efficiency of the administration, payments, such like that. So you can make it so much more faster and so much more, like I said, we could take out the middleman of it and make it more of a company to, whether it's a corporate hospital or whatever it is, company to person transaction, as well as the information being, out there and not being, or being out there and secure in the chain, but not in the hackers or in the pharmaceutical company's laps. As far as property and real estate, definitely could do that when it comes to registries of land and things like that, where it comes to upcoming developed areas and things like that. Obviously, you have to be secure when it comes to major property and multi-million-dollar deals that are going to be created due to when it comes to property and real estate developments. Education, voting is a huge thing that this could be helping. Obviously, if you created a system where I know there's one called Democracy Earth that we allow direct voting to be put forth by companies or government in a way, obviously, would secure votes from tampering, where it's going to be going directly into the chain where you cannot get anybody's voter records or anything like that because it is so secure, and especially the vote itself, because no tampering on that, the numbers coming in, it's going to go right into the chain and stay in there. Another way, retail consumer purchases. Obviously, that's a huge thing when it comes to tracking people's data, when it comes to what they buy. Obviously, that's how a lot of advertisers make their money and how they target certain ads. Also education as well, when it comes to having to authenticate certain exams, papers, finding out if there's certain plagiarism certificates, degrees, figuring out where if people actually went to the school they went to, there's going to be no fraudulent. It's basically a defrauding thing as well. It is a security apparatus as well, this blockchain aspect. So I could list all these different companies. WePower, there's ODM.io. It's a company based hub for students and teachers as they connect in a decentralized higher system, education system that's higher, obviously, like college higher education system that's decentralized. So there's lots of different ways, obviously, to do it, as well as, I mean, but it's different than the way that we've been doing it in the past. That's the blockchain for you. Not just cryptocurrency. It can be used all over the place, and it can be used to definitely augment your vision of how the world is going to go forward in the future. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the Google data and how they're going to be basically, so kind of a trade-off that we're getting to, as well as the news about Google One. So we'll come back with that and some other news, as we're going to probably do that for the second segment. Then, like I said, bounce around with the last couple of segments in the show and go through all these different news. So nothing's really big enough to take up one segment. So we're going to bounce around a bit. All right, we'll come back in just a second.
You want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do. All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Technology Podcast, as we are now in the second segment today, bringing you some information from Google, as they have announced that they are going to be shifting away from they're just not going to get rid of the Google Drive. The Google Drive will still be there for your Dropbox abilities. I know I use it a lot in college when it comes to turning in documents or sharing things with other students and doing group projects and stuff like that. It's very functional. It'll still be used as that Dropbox-like technology and service that where you can definitely create different documents, slides, Excel. I mean, it's not Excel. It's their own kind of thing when it comes to, like, kind of close to Excel, you know, the grid, things like that, where you're making a PowerPoint presentation, but it's called slides on Google Drive and documents, whatever way may have you. You can still do that, but they're changing the way you buy your storage online. So it's the one of you're storing cloud storage. So it's now called Google One. They've also changed the prices of a lot of things as well. So we're going to be kind of seeing Google Drive as more as just the basic thing, whereas you're going to be creating your own databases through Google, and as we get all managed through Google One, and it's going to be there's going to be a separate app as well, as it, so it's going to be called the Google One app. And so they're changing the prices. So here we go. I was looking in my notes, and the prices, obviously, we're going to two new plans. So you can do 200 gigabytes for $2.99 a month, and now 2 terabytes for $9.99 a month. It used to be $19.99 a month for those 2 terabytes, as they're lowering the price now, as Google is getting into more of that cloud storage and trying to get it more affordable for people, as it will now hand out also some more. So it says, we're being hearing reports saying that it's also going to be handing out free Google Play credits to buy apps and movies, music, whatever have be other deals, as well as Google getting in there, as well as they're going to be changing the prices, making it a little more affordable if you are paying for, if you need the extended, obviously the extended storage. So there's going to be paid storage. The storage ranges from 100 gigabytes to 30 terabytes of that cloud storage. And now it'll be all on Google One, not the Google Drive Vault service. Now, basically, the Google Drive is, like I said, kind of a Dropbox vault where you're going to be holding, like, it's really functional for school. For schoolwork, and you know, a way also you can share different things, create job boxes, create folders. I know in college we had a basically a platform that we used throughout the school called iLearn versus some teachers didn't. You can turn things in like that, and professors could put things up for you to use for assignments or readings or whatever it might be. You could turn things in through that. I know there's also turnitin.com, but also we had teachers use, professors also use Google Drive. Google Drive has created a class folder, shared it with everybody, and then you had access to it, and that'll still be available through through Google Drive, but it'll be more of the Google, it'll be more of the, now with the cloud storage, it'll be Google One. All right, when it comes to more into data, it's a little different. This is kind of shifting gears, but still about Google. Google is now trying to, basically, you're kind of signing up for a trade-off. Obviously, you have all those, you're signing the terms of agreements or whatever, the terms and service data agreements. You know, you never read them. You never read the terms of service, terms and clauses and whatever it is before you sign. Never read it. But basically, you're trading off the fact that Google is going to be, you're not paying for Google services because they're taking your data. Whether it's Google Maps, they're seeing where you're going. I mean, the fact that Google's following you around is saving you money, basically, because they're able to track where you're going or where you're searching on where you're going to go, and being able to use that to target ads for you. And that's how they make more money off their ads, because they'd rather just go that way and have it be free for you. And they might know where you are, but you know, it just happens to be that they're going to be getting the money elsewhere. So like, say they see you're searching the mall or something like that, and then you're going to go to this store, and they're probably going to find out which store that is, or I don't know if they're going to search your transactions, but they could tell there's this, and this store at the mall, so why don't they just put this, and this kind of ads in front of you, where maybe. So like I said, there's going to be customized suggestions on your Google Maps now, and a new feature that even, like I said, the whole email thing where it's going to finish your emails. It's just, that's, you know, all that AI, it's all gathering information from habits and different things that you did in the past in order to help it figure out what you're going to do in the future, obviously. So, I mean, of all their products, obviously, they haven't been able to, most of you, I mean, obviously, until recently, with now this whole more, whether they're just disclosing this information now, or they're feeling more comfortable now, it users have been pretty much unaware that their information, their data, their you know, their stuff have been taken as a trade-off for this services. But now we're kind of been, okay, this is what's happening. We came out that Google, I mean, definitely has been able to spread around the wealth. They have seven different products, and they each have at least a billion users every month actively using the services. So, I mean, you can't do that without any of the users' data. I mean, you have to be able to take that data in and be able to get it to work. I mean, like Google traffic, all the maps. Google Maps in general is a lot of data. I mean, whoever wrote the algorithm for that is going to be a genius, because I mean, that's so much user data. Because like when you're using Google Maps, and they have the traffic, it's basically they're going off the fact that a lot of other, well, there's traffic reports and stuff like that too. But they can guess. I mean, I've never seen an app so accurate on when I'm going to arrive somewhere. If they tell you the estimated arrival time you're going somewhere, sometimes they can get there quicker, but maybe like a minute or two. But they're very accurate on the fact that, yeah, you're going to get there this time. We just know whether it's, we know the other people in front of you are using Google Maps as well, and we could tell by how fast they're driving their cars, because obviously every phone has a durometer in it, and they take that data from the durometer in your phone and they could tell how fast you're driving. I mean, so does Waze, does that too, because they could tell, like, oh, slow down, the speed limit's 65. Like if you're going over the speed limit on Google Maps, it'll pop up a little speed limit sign. It'll tell you, okay, by the way, the speed limit's 70 right here. You're going 90. And knows how fast you're going. So I mean, that's just an example. And obviously, it can forecast traffic by how fast the car. It could tell. I mean, they have the whole yellow, red, and the dark red based off how bad the traffic is. That's all based off of people using their iPhones or whatever, Android phones on Google Maps. And they can tell how fast the cars are moving, and they can tell how bad the traffic is. And that's how they can generate those colors. I mean, in real time. It's crazy how accurate it is. I mean, literally, I see a yellow, little yellow start coming up. Right when I hit the edge of that yellow, it starts to slow down. It's just, it's so accurate because of the fact that they're able to get all that information and get it. Obviously, this is also interesting because of the fact that they do do run the Android system, and that's on half the phones out there. Maybe not quite. I mean, I might say half the phones if you're Apple versus just all Android phones. Is that maybe more than half, honestly, because there's so many different companies. I would look at some that'd be consumer data right there to grab. But there's been other people saying, I know that there's a quote from a professor at Harvard Business School that says Google is walking a fine line. There's different things. I mean, saying that Google, the search, obviously Android, the fact that Android is their own operating system, and when you have a Samsung or HTC or whatever phone might be that uses Android, you're going to have to use a Google web service. Obviously, you're using Chrome or using Google Search every single time. You're probably going to use Maps. There's no Apple Maps. There's no Samsung Maps. There's Google Maps on your Android device, and you're going to use that every time. So they basically have curbed the market on being able to bring you. So basically, instead of it, we're just going to take all your data. No, we're going to give you services that you're going to use because they're good services. And because they're our services, we're going to use your data from our services. So, I mean, it's a fine line. They're not going into other people's things. They're not creating games or apps or game apps to grab your data. They're creating their own apps that are very usable and very practical. And they're using that to get the data. So, I mean, the more Google products you use, whether it's Maps, Drive, Gmail, Search, whatever, it's collecting all this information about you. And basically, it's that trade-off that I'm talking about here in the segment that kind of leads to that and will give you that stuff for free. Also, YouTube. Oh, YouTube's huge. The fact that YouTube is owned by, I thought it popped into my head, like, YouTube's owned by Google? Holy moly, they must get gigabytes on gigabytes on gigabytes, terabytes on terabytes on terabytes of data from YouTube. I mean, YouTube's kind of that black hole I talk about. I mean, because they have all the suggested videos next to you. So if you're on one video, whether you're watching cat videos or sports highlights or your favorite YouTuber, it doesn't matter. They're going to be able to obviously tell what you're watching. And then every single click you make, every comment you make, every single ad. I mean, that's the thing about creepy Google is, I mean, people get creeped out. The fact, oh, Amazon. I went on Amazon and searched on Google. But if you were going through Chrome or going through a Google web service, or you searched it on Google to get to Amazon, and you search for some shoes or a hat or glasses, then you go on back onto another web page onto Google, and you'll be like, you'll see an ad, like, wasn't I just searching for those shoes? Wasn't I just searching for that hat? Wasn't I just searching for those glasses? Yeah, you were, but you were on Google, and Google knows that. That's also kind of a cookies thing, but Google's cookies are very good. They're good cookies. They be able to recall things and grab information from everywhere because it remembers stuff. Obviously, Google does have a very ironclad privacy policy, even though they didn't talk about privacy whatsoever at the I/O last week. They definitely can grab some stuff from you. I don't know if they're using it obviously to make their own money because they're giving all the services for free. I mean, you look at Google Earth, Google Maps, it's a great service. All this stuff it's probably cost them a lot of money to run that kind of stuff. I mean, it's all information being able to tabulate and get all down to one science. They can take my data. I don't have much to hide. It's just ridiculous that, I mean, I know people aren't clamoring for their heads like they were seeing for Facebook, because I mean that was used in probably more illicit ways, but I mean the fact that we're getting all these tools and things for free are, I mean, I would say that's a decent trade off. The fact that I'm paying with my information and with my daily routine that I do every day. Oh great, Google knows that I went to Starbucks again. Google knows that I drove to work again. Google knows that I went to this restaurant again. Like, a lot of people do the same things over and over again. And Google now is going to lead to more and more AI capabilities and lead to more and more ease of use things when it comes to things that we want to do, whether it's with the Google Homes or whether it's through Gmail, finishing our sentences or being able to forecast traffic and such like that. Because I mean, they have, that's one of the fascinating things for me, honestly, is the fact that Google is so accurate on that Google Maps availability. And it's all through data that we're giving them through our phones and, you know, being able to grab it from different aspects of the phone, whether it's the odometer or just your search. I mean, Google Maps is actually, you can spend some time with Google Maps. It gives you suggestions, restaurants, places to visit, things like that, things you might like. It'll give you go off of things, places you've been in the past. So, and Google's not hurting. It obviously has made already $31.2 billion in revenue just in the first few months of 2018. So they're making their money hand over fist there at Google, as they have really, obviously, they're most of their money is through investments as well. Through advertising investments as well. So the fact that they are getting a lot of return in those super targeted advertising, obviously, the Google, powered by Google kind of thing is a thing for advertisements. Like I said, if you search for one thing on like American Eagle or Abercrombie or Dick's Sporting Goods or whatever it might be, they're going to know that because you did it through their service, their web search, their Google search, and they're in when you go on a different page, and then there is a chance to put an ad somewhere. That'll be the ad. whatever it's consumer products. You go over to a news ad or news article. There's gonna be an ad next to it, and it's gonna be the Dick's Sporting Goods ad. It's gonna be the American Eagle ad. It's gonna be the Abercrombie ad. It's gonna be one of them. Something that you just searched, and I mean, people get creeped out by that. Some people are like, oh, the reminder. Because it's called super targeted ads, and that's how they make all that money. All right, enough about Google. We'll come back with some talk on Fortnite, and there's some news from the smartphone world regarding some phones. The Samsung S10 has had some stuff regarding screen tests and stuff like that. I know I saw a report saying that it beat Apple at a test that means nothing. So we'll talk about that when we get back, as well as some reviews on the Google Samsung S10. So stay tuned for that. We'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. Hey! The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
All right, welcome back to SMC Technology Podcast. Third segment of the day today. We rolled through those first two segments nicely, like that. Got through those as we talked about Google and the blockchain. What is the blockchain? Go listen to the first segment. In this one, we're going to go through the Galaxy S10, which is now apparently going to have the most stunning, amazing, beautiful, crystal clear, because everything has to be better and bigger. The screen of this Samsung Galaxy S10 will be better than it's been in the past, as they always have to make it better, as it's always going to be better. But apparently the screen is going to be the best we've ever seen. So obviously, last time we had the industry people, all the movers and shakers and evaluators and everything, deemed that S9 and S9 Plus boring and kind of, you know, blah, 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 compared to last year's models. But now apparently that S10 has emerged, and it's obviously emerged a lot earlier than expected. And obviously, they kind of need to do that because they don't want to be in the shadow of the iPhone. And Samsung's definitely on the bottom of a totem pole when it comes to their iPhones. I mean, not their iPhones, but their smartphones, due to the fact that they blew up a couple of them blew, a few of them blew up last time or time before that. And now nobody's really happy. And now they're trying to like get out in front of it and be like, okay, here's a new cool phone. Everybody go buy it or not. Because I mean, obviously there's been price drops all over the place. The nine and the nine plus dropped their price like a month after it was released. So, the fact that Samsung is now trying to get out ahead of it and really get a top tier phone out there with this S10 is a good sight to see when it comes to this. Obviously, the S10 is supposed to be released sometime next year. They're releasing pictures of it ahead of time, obviously trying to get that hype going. 2018, they're not releasing anything. It's going to be a kind of a gap year for Samsung and their release of the phones, because whether it's the fact that they want to make it really, really good, or they're going to release the pictures and the specs of it now and be like, oh, but you can't get it till next year. That's a tough bet. Obviously, it's a tough little test right there, whether people are like, you're creating hype and it's going to be making people wait for it, then it's finally going to arrive next year and people are going to go clamoring for it, or you're going to create hype just for like a second right now and then people are going to forget about it. And nobody's going to buy it next year. Oh, right. The Samsung Galaxy S10. We read about that last May. It's supposed to come out. And it is going to be released next year. So, yeah, early first quarter of 2019 versus, 2018. Now we're seeing, it used to be like that for the iPhone, where they'd take a gap year every time they released a phone. But now it's a year-to-year thing. We'll be seeing I don't know, did they even come out what they're going to be calling the new? They don't really even say it until the keynote. What they're going to call the next phone, whether it's going to be the iPhone XS or whatever it might be. I think there's going to be an iPhone. I know they're coming out with a smaller iPhone this year. It's going to be closer to another one of the SEs. But they're definitely going to be coming out with a bigger iPhone X as well. So we'll have to see what's going on with there. So on the screen, it is rumored that the S10 will... The whole thing is the pixels per inch. So it's like pixels per inch. So it's going to exceed 600 pixels per inch. And we're seeing that it might, there is no more information regarding that, but it is rumored that it might be better than that. And which means it's going to be, obviously it's all about that pixel density. The S9 had a pixel density of 570 pixels per inch. So we'll see if it's going to be a little higher. It's been reported that it's going to be higher for this new phone. Obviously we have a ways to wait for it, so we'll get to that. But as far as the fact that I mean, there's going to be some more reports coming out. I know we had the iPhone SE design come out for this year, and it's been kind of truncated a little bit. And there's more news from Apple, as we'll get to that as it comes out. As far as today from Apple, as we're shifting over from Samsung to Apple, we're going to talk about the fact that now we're seeing that Apple has some self-driving car permits from California, as it's now going to be leading the way as in the technology when it comes to self-driving car testing in California. It actually has more permits than Waymo and Tesla. So it looks like that Apple can, in second place, only General Motors has which they have 104 vehicles and 407 drivers, according to a report. And with Apple now having 55 self-driving car permits and 83 licensed drivers to test the self-driving car on the road. So it looks like Apple is going to be getting into that. Obviously, Alphabet, the Waymo is the company that Google's sister company, because Alphabet's the parent company for Google. Waymo is the Google. So Waymo's also part of the Alphabet family. So it's kind of like a sister for Google. And they have 51 permits and 338 certified drivers, with Tesla having 39 vehicles with the permit for self-driving and 92 drivers. So you got to have kind of a combination of, obviously want to kind of that combination of both. And whether it's self-driving car testing going to be continued over these next few years, or we're finally going to see a launch of a vehicle coming to market. But it looks like that those numbers are going to start hitting a point in 2020 when we're going to see a lot more numbers getting out there and a lot more cars on the road when it comes to self-driving. Obviously, we're still having issues. We've already had, I think, reports of a crash earlier saying that there was a crash saying that some lady, she crashed and claimed that she was in autopilot. So another issue for the self-driving cars. More news on Apple regarding Apple Music. Tim Cook has reported that Apple Music has now 50 million users and they're making a push and a leap and a bound and a crash, or we'll see what happens as far as the crash, into movies and TV, obviously, whether they're trying to take a little book out of the Netflix playbook, a little page of the Netflix playbook, getting into their own, their own type of, you know, creating it for themselves, or they're just going to get into whether you pay for the subscription like you do for Apple Music, and now you're going to get video for it, the same, a little, obviously not the same price, but you're going to pay a little more and get some video. So they're going to get into this, maybe not the same Netflix realm where you're going to be getting their own Apple created, Apple original shows or movies, but you're going to get into a subscription based service, just like the Apple Music, but it's going to be bringing you television and movies. So it looks like Tim Cook's trying to get some deals with, whether it's with certain networks to air their shows or production companies to air their films. Yes. So it looks like they're definitely pushing it, pushing away into video, obviously, as Apple has actually, and it looks like they actually, I'm seeing now on these reports that they are good looking like that they're getting into the realm of creating their own original shows. You don't have to, Apple doesn't have to be super hands on. Basically, just pay for it. There's projects all over the place looking to be funded, and a lot of them have some big names as well. So, they're definitely trying to get some deals going with these different production companies, whether it's, looks like they have a deal with the revival of a television series, sci-fi series called Amazing Stories. It was starring Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon. Looks like that they're trying to get these deals in with some big names as well, as they have also been reported that they are at least have leased a building in Culver City to create a content related headquarters down there in Los Angeles regarding attract some big stars to make. So yeah, whether it's just subscription based, they're going to be making some Apple movies. Basically, we're going to get some Apple produced TV shows, Apple produced movies, just like we saw from Netflix. So we'll see. Spotify, your turn, or maybe Spotify is going to focus on the music. Obviously, Apple quite wider wings when it comes to doing stuff like that, with expanding your services and just your basically everything you're going to do. And Tim Cook has confirmed all this stuff, as well as made deals. He's a deal maker at Tim Cook. He likes to have things. Obviously, they've also tried to say that they're going to add another 10 million paid subscribers before the end of the year, the holiday season. This is now 3 years since they have launched the Apple Music service. All right, as we come to the end of the segment here, on the third segment here, we've talked about a little bit of Apple, a little bit of Samsung. A couple more things we want to get to, as we have some more news regarding at Tim Cook. Obviously, Tim Cook, a very publicly seen CEO around with Google. Obviously, he's been involved in different summits and tech summits with our president. He's told Donald Trump that the tariffs could not be the right approach regarding how relations with China. Obviously, Apple has a big investment, a big deal when it comes to China, as a lot of their stuff is created there and is made overseas and shipped back here. I think a big iPhone plant also in China, so maybe not affecting Apple the way that Tim Cook wished it would, these tariffs, as the president is said that he's had a great relationship with the president of China, but it looks like that... It looks like not the right way to go. That's been reported that Tim Cook has had a meeting with the president and is telling him that maybe not the wise way to get into a trade war with our biggest trading partner that is China. So looks like that we're finally, he's maybe getting a little bit more of a angel in his ear with Tim Cook trying to tell him what to do. Hey, buddy, you know, I actually run a lot of this stuff that you're going to be affecting me. Helps our economy. Maybe you should get your stuff together, Mr. Trump, Mr. President. All right. We'll end this segment right here. We're going to come back with some more stuff. I know there was some news on Fortnite I want to get to, and whatever stuff pops into my my head or across my desk right now regarding reports and stuff that's coming out as we speak, because the tech world is constantly moving. There's always new stuff happening. So I'll bring you some stuff in this final segment that I deem good enough for your ears, obviously, as we're going to be coming back in just a moment. So stay tuned.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
All right, welcome back, GSMC Technology Podcast. All right, we'll talk about Fortnite a little bit in this segment, as I have had reports come to me that there has been a job posting one of the companies that helped create the online, the mobile platform for Fortnite, you know, on the iOS and such, that they are putting out a job listing to help create a Fortnite for your Nintendo Switch. And you gotta love, you don't know, this show loves the Nintendo Switch. We talked about it a lot on this show, as they have continued to amaze with their sales records and such, and different features with the Switch, obviously coming out with their new charging kit and everything, as it looks like possibly, not confirmed, but possibly going to be having a world where you can play Fortnite now on your Switch, which would be pretty cool too. So there's a job posting out there for those who are willing to go help do that, because that'd be pretty fun to be able to play with Fortnite on the Switch. It'd be cool how to see those controls work, or playing it on that when you're on the handheld version versus playing it on the computer. All right. So, more news regarding Fortnite and some other stuff with the gaming. If you are looking to watch a replay of a battle royale, it says there's a step-by-step availability of how to watch a replay in Fortnite battle royale. Obviously, you can't do it. I mean, it doesn't really work in the iOS version of it, but when it comes to Fortnite Battle Royale Season 4, if you're looking how to complete certain challenges and certain things, you're trying to go back and see what you're doing wrong or whatever, there's definitely a way to do it through your consoles. It looks like not quite through the mobile version. You have to go through your PC or on your console. Obviously, it's not available on your mobile, but now you can go and watch a replay of your gaming experience on your phones. All right. As we continue on here, I want to get to a couple more things that tickle my fancy. That doesn't really sound that great, as I say, but I said it anyways, didn't I? I talked about WhatsApp and how their CEO Jan Koum left the company. Now it's been reported that Facebook has installed the VP of internet.org as the new WhatsApp, and they are revamping its group messaging service and making it a little bit better, closer to another app. I know, I forgot what it was called. I had it written down, but we'll figure it out. I'll pull it up for you here. But it is obviously, as I don't know, for people who know what the Telegram app is, this is the WhatsApp that's going to be. WhatsApp is now changing its group chat in order to fight and to combat with the with the Telegram. Obviously, now you can do different participant searches. You can do descriptions on obviously which group you're talking to. So obviously, like you, I mean, just like we can on the iPhone with the iMessage, you can name different groups and such like that. So it looks like you can definitely they're adding ability to do that as they're trying to catch up to the other types of apps out there that are more able to more, and it's more designed, I think, towards the group chat and the group ability. Oh, Slack, that's right. Slack was the other app I was thinking of. I think we start with an S. Slack was the app I'm thinking about. Another news, Asus. I mean, I'm not going to think of Asus, but they actually are, they make laptops. And they are the they've introduced the ZenBook Pro 15, and it's going to be equipped with the hexa-core processor, the newest Intel processor. I think it's the i8 processor from, yes, Intel, or i9 processor from Google, from Intel, sorry, and from Google. It's going to be the availability of the Intel i-core i9 processor. It's going to be in the ZenBook Pro 15, and obviously it's going to have 4.0 gigahertz and all these different lovely specs when it comes to your video card or whatever it might be, 12 megabytes of cache RAM. So looks like that's pretty cool as you are going to be getting into these bigger and badder computers. Obviously, Asus, not the most sexy company that you think of when you're thinking of buying a laptop, but definitely I think I don't know if I had an Asus or not. Or Acer, but Asus definitely getting in there when you're trying to think of higher powered computers when it comes to improved battery lives and definitely better performance. So it's looking like that. It's a look at that. I mean, looking at the model of it, it's a very nice looking thing. They're definitely helping with the body to screen ratio and such like that. It looks like they made a smaller battery. So it's still a 71 watt 8 cell lithium polymer battery, does 9 hours of life. I mean, takes about 49 minutes to recharge from 0 to 60 using a normal wall plug. So all pretty cool. It looks like it's going to be available around June and will be, I mean, it'll be pretty pricey though. We close to those Mac prices. It's going to be between $1,500 and $2,000 for the ones that are more fully loaded featured computers. So I just want to go over that one for you laptop people out there looking for a new laptop. When it comes to Facebook, they have I was going to talk about Facebook in the show today here. Facebook has announced that they are going to be doing a lot more to secure your sites and to secure your profiles when it comes to different apps that they are allowing onto their sites. Obviously, it's a pretty free going developer ball game here when it comes to Facebook apps. But it looks like that Facebook is going to be creating a new audit service when it comes to the fact that it's going to be, obviously, it has revealed how much content it already kills in itself. I mean, it's disclosed how much stuff it's already been able to comb through, but it looks like it's going to go even further with the fact that Facebook is going to be now requiring each company or each developer to kind of go through an audit, and if they don't comply with the audit, they're automatically locked out of the Facebook platform, so not allowed to work with them. So you got to be pretty much as transparent as possible if you are a developer with Facebook, and they're going to do different interviews with developers, may even go to a site visit regarding different, whether it's a different offices or blah blah, whatever it might be, a little nook that you're coding in. But it says that, I mean, in the first quarter, it's already Facebook has already disabled about 583 million fake accounts, and most of which apparently were quote unquote disabled within minutes of registration. So the fact that they're even getting registered at all is interesting. They're going to get knocked out right away. That's pretty crazy. And as well as the 837 million pieces of spam that were eradicated in the first quarter of 2018. So, I mean, you can't knock Facebook. They're trying to pull out every stat possible that makes them look like they are really trying to get back on this privacy thing, knocking out the illicit people or illicit brands or services or whatever it may be. But I don't know. Google, I mean, Facebook, you got a lot more work to do to get people's trust back. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of stuff out there. People, you never can. It's you're kind of through. You wear when you created Facebook, you created a, I think a domino effect of just everything that could possibly happen. Basically, Pandora's box, Murphy's Law, whatever thing you want to say, whatever can happen will happen, and that's kind of what Facebook has gotten into these days. So, I mean, obviously, it's still kind of getting there when it comes to. There's always going to be new ways to get around their safeguards. I think the fact that they're going to get more brass tacks and the fact that they're actually going to physically go do these audits for certain developers is going to be pretty good. Obviously, the stuff that they already have to cut out regarding whether it's hate speech or nudity or whatever may have you, they kind of do that with their software abilities and have been able to do that quite a bit, and seemingly efficient enough so far. I mean, it's a lot of spam. I mean, the thing is, there it's now Facebook has become the spam book, basically. Some more news regarding Facebook. It has been reported that Zuckerberg will not testify in the United Kingdom regarding the Cambridge Analytica scandal. They said that there was a member of Parliament, Damian Collins, that was quoted and saying that they might have him testify via a video link. That's the only way they would do it if they were going to have him come in and during their period of inquiry of this issue that happened. So he has no plans to meet with the committee or travel to the UK right now. So it looks like that if they're going to meet with him, it'll be via video chat. So right now he's not going to the UK at all. All right. That'll pretty much wrap it up for the show today. We're going to cut it short a little bit, not too much, but it'll pretty much wrap it up for the day today, as we have gone over a bunch of stuff regarding the blockchain, explain to you how efficient blockchain can be and how we could use it in our daily lives and different services around our world, whether it's healthcare, education, consumer uses, retail, banking, all that kind of stuff. It's not just cryptocurrency. It is just the... It's just basically how cryptocurrency stays crypto. It isn't cryptocurrency in itself. It's just the way that the cryptocurrency stays crypto, and you could use it. You could apply it to every different kind of thing. It's decentralized data storage and decentralized transactions and decentralized everything. So it's making it so, number one, it's harder to hack. Number two, it's private. And number three, it's secure. So. We'll get more and more as we're going to get into that probably in more shows down the road here, as we're going to get probably this comes into the more of the mainstream talking and blah, 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 what have you, when it comes to companies actually hooking onto this. I don't know if it's going to affect bigger companies, or they're going to actually welcome it with open arms and start integrating into their tech. We'll see. But, definitely something that you guys should look more into and learn about, because it is going to be a big part of our future. Also went into Google data and how basically you have a trade-off between Google taking your data and using Google services. If you don't want Google taking your data, then don't use their services. That's pretty much what they're saying. I think it's a pretty easy trade off the fact that, yeah, if we're using Google Maps, you want Google to suggest you certain things, or use your phone's capabilities to tell how fast you're going in your car to calculate traffic reports for others and yourself. I mean, why not? What's wrong with that? I like that. That's a good idea. And then also, obviously, Google getting into the fact that they're going to be creating a Google One service that separates itself from Google Drive and will be changing the prices, lowering the prices actually on cloud storage. So you can store up to from 100 gigabytes to 30 terabytes of data or whatever it may have you, information, documents, projects. Google Drive will still remain in its Dropbox entity like it is for, works really well for schools or for businesses that are, you know, sharing documents, such as turning things in or whatever may have you. So still works for that. But if you're those who are really using it for cloud storage, it's going to now be Google One. We also got into Fortnite and how we might be seeing Fortnite on the Nintendo Switch, which would be pretty cool. Just really cool about that. That's going to be really interesting. We also talked about Apple and its disclosure of the 550 million users on Apple Music, and the fact they want to get 10 more million by the end of the year, and the fact they're also pushing into movies and TV, whether it's just subscription services or even be going the Netflix route and creating their own content. We're going to have some Apple produced content. I mean, like I said, you basically just throw money at something and it'll be made. Apple's got plenty of money to throw at a production company to make to finance a film, so that'll probably be the way it works. Whether they're going to be working with big names, I know I did report the fact that they have purchased or have leased out some building in Culver City to be their headquarters for their content creation wing. All right, look at that. My review made us to an hour. We're all good. No cutting the show short. I just reviewed back whatever thing we talked about. Oh, yes, right. I also went over the fact that we might be having some specs come out from the Samsung Galaxy S10. It's not going to be available till early next year, but Samsung trying to get back in the good graces after their debacle with the iPhone, with the S8 and S9, trying to get back in the good graces of the smartphone people, while Apple is just kind of running rampant with the obviously changes and everybody following in line with the notch in the screen's edge-to-edge design. So we'll get into more stuff regarding smartphones, computers, everything in Thursday's show. We'll bring you some more news regarding Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg and Google, as we always do on the show, and we'll see you on Thursday. So everybody have a good week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.